トゥトゥルトゥトゥトゥトゥルトゥトゥ。Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome to a live interview with the IPC. Tatitula.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm absolutely fit as a fiddle.
Oh, okay. What does that mean? Huh? You're starting.
It means a lot more than I can say.
That is wonderful. To our beloved listeners, we are so sorry we are delayed. It's all on me. It's my fault. It was me. It was not IPC. It was all me. Amy, I take accountability for this one, guys. Sorry. But we are here now. It's better late than never. Asho.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Thank you very much. It's a while since I've been here.
You know?
Yeah. Can you still hear me?
You know? Now I feel like you abandoned me somewhere somehow because
you
are the one that was keeping me updated.
You don't know even what I was doing yesterday. I was at your rivals.
Uh-huh.
I was speaking in Oshiwambo.
Oh-ho.
At Chippy last night.
Oh, okay.
So in order to be absolutely fair as a leader of the political party and president of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not hearing people going, wow, you know?
Wow! I'll be your backup. Wow!
You know, after barely 5 years as a political party,
yes,
I think that we did pretty well, and I must thank the public. That's what we have been given.
Well,
you know, spilled water cannot go back in the cup. We'll have to accept that. But what is more important is to thank everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that we understand the principles that we go into politics for.
Mm-hmm.
You can't move a mountain or climb Kilimanjaro in one step alone.
Of course.
You need to do it step by step. Mm-hmm. You need to get down there. You need to rest at times and you need to go. But you also need to understand that there will be a lot of pits and thorns along the road.
Mm-hmm.
You need to navigate those ones. Sometimes they will come in. You need to take in.
Yes.
If there is a hurricane coming on, you need to sit down and sit it out as it were. And climb again until you get to the summit as it well.
Until you get there.
The goal is there. The summit is inevitable. The vision is clear.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really want us to concentrate on today is my biggest concern.
Mm.
You know, we had an electoral process that has just gone on, which upset a lot of people. And I'm really sorry for many of the Namibian citizens that decided to take part in the electoral process of 2024 and to not only thank them, but to say, unfortunately, those are the situations that we need to live in.
Okay.
When history comes, history will tell us not what took place during the electoral process.
Mm.
It only tells us who was in power.
Yeah.
How they got there, history will never tell you that. And it's us who are here today to be able to discern and to analyze what took place and why did it take place and why it should never take place anymore.
Mm.
What does it signal to us?
Yes.
The electoral process, the campaign in the country and the electoral process itself and what took place thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the institution of a government. And once that oath has been taken, then one as a citizen has got an obligation to respect the institutions of governance.
Mm-hmm.
And because you are a citizen and you have to abide by the rule of law.
Yes.
But what is critically important is this, that citizens need to understand that we are in a country that is in danger.
Mm.
We are now an endangered species as a democracy amongst nations.
Mm.
Of course, there are other nations whose democracy also falls within the same category.
Yeah.
And we need to be extremely careful as to make a decision as what is necessary to be done for us to take ourselves out of that muddy situation and to bring us up in order for us to ensure that our democracy, for which so many have sacrificed, can continue to survive.
Yeah.
So what is extremely difficult to comprehend, and I did not anticipate, is that our democratic governance is in danger zone, completely in danger zone.
Mm.
All the democratic institutions in this country, all of them are compromised, completely compromised.
Okay.
All the governance institutions in this country are completely compromised, with a few exceptions. Okay. Even the media itself, and I'm really sorry, you know, free media,
yeah.
You are also compromised. Mm-hmm. And if you have heard how the media is elevating some political parties to basically discriminate them for things that hasn't happened, you know, they are completely compromised. Mm-hmm. They are no longer carrying out their professional responsibilities. And also, we need to also understand that, including our own administrative officials, the fourth branch of government is compromised.
Mm.
So what is it that we need to understand? And I think Namibia has now to move out of the earlier years of independence, the 35 years, and to move into an era where we will now need to work hard to maintain our democracy and its tenants. But how are we going to do that if we have got a public largely having apathy in participating in democratic processes such as the elections, having apathy where they say, no, I'm not a politician, and yet every single day when you wake up and switch on your light,
it's politics.
It's politics.
Everything is
the
politics.
The rate of that electricity is politics.
Yes.
You go and open the tap to wash yourself.
It's
politics.
Politics.
The rate of the water is determined by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's politics to say, do we have enough boreholes in Windhoek to provide us with water?
Mm-hmm.
Or even in the village,
it's politics to
determine whether we've got enough money to make it available for our citizens to have a prosperous life.
Yeah.
It's politics. So we cannot walk away from politics. And I would want to caution very, with all humility, our citizens to take an active part and role to play in politics.
Yeah.
And we also need to understand our governance.
Mm.
How are we governed? What are the institutions?
Mm.
We've got, of course, the legislative, which is what we've elected proportionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the principle of democracy. Mm-hmm. You either participate directly
or
through freely chosen representative. And direct participation in democratic decision making has probably died with the Greeks of Athens, where people used to come together, all of them, and they make a decision, and leaders were selected by lot and not by an electoral process.
Yeah.
That sort of situation is impossible. If there was direct democracy in Namibia, we would have had 3,020,401 people all coming into a chamber to make a decision.
Yeah.
And this is why the electoral process in Namibia has actually delivered a proportional representation of our representatives.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they had not been directly elected by the electorate. They are not directly representing the electorate. Mm. They are doing so through a political party. So they are delegated representatives of the political party. Something like 55 to 60% of all our MPs are all new.
Okay.
So what have we got in parliament at the moment? We've got lay politicians.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine
getting
everybody to go into a hospital and pretend to be a doctor? All of them have not studied, I mean, with a section of a few, study politics.
Politics, yeah.
And we're expecting them
to the
deliver and to be politicians.
Yes.
The same applies to our executive, our cabinet.
Yes.
We have seen people that has been appointed in our executive without any experience.
Yes.
Just plucked from a hospital, plucked from an institution, and given a ministry.
Yes.
You are now a politician.
Yeah.
You are the political head of that ministry.
Yeah.
You have to run it.
Yeah.
So what are the dangers?
You've never run anything in your
life.
You've
never run any political office in your life.
Before. Or anything even.
Not even a political party.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
you now have to go into the parliament to go and make laws.
Yeah.
Now, how many parliamentarians are actually lawyers?
Lawyers.
How many of them are actually reading law, understanding law?
Yes.
So we need to be very careful when we are talking about democracy and the various organs of government in our democratic dispensation.
Yes.
What is it that we have just done?
Mm-hmm.
We've just put these people, 96 of them, well, 104 of them, into a classroom called the legislative chamber. And we are expecting them to churn laws out to govern us. But what is our role? Why, how do we participate in determining how are we governed?
Yeah.
What is it that we are doing to scrutinize how they are doing it and then them to scrutinize the executive, how they are implementing these laws.
Yeah.
So we've got this dilemma. Mm-hmm. Lay people yes. in there with a few people who have studied academically mm-hmm. Politics. Yes. They understand that academic part of politics, yes. perhaps not the practical part of politics. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a few others who have been there 20 years, etc. Mm-hmm. They've run through that classroom as it were, mm-hmm. and they will be appearing to know, you know, they could have become the head boy, etc. In that mm-hmm. classroom, and using that experience, hopefully, mm-hmm. constructively.
Yeah.
But when I said that, our administrative officials, including our MPs, mm-hmm. are also compromised. Mm-hmm. They are compromised because the person wielding the power and making ends meet is not the person on your side of the political divide.
Yeah.
It's somebody else. So when you've got the majority of this class of mm-hmm. SWAPO, and then you've got the minority mm-hmm. of IPC coming in with 20 and the others coming in with 6 and 5, mm-hmm. The only people that really matters mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. Chamber is IPC.
Mm.
SWAPO has been there before.
Yeah.
SWAPO is running as if nobody will tell me what to do. We are the only one which is bearing that mantle mm-hmm. of the mandate of the people to hold SWAPO to account. The others can be compromised by SWAPO. They can be told, come this side, as it appears to be the case, mm. and compromise in a manner that they will not be opposing.
Yeah.
So the task upon this new baby, mm-hmm. this IPC,
mm-hmm.
and its MPs mm-hmm. in that chamber is mm. incredibly large.
Yeah.
Large in that they still have to grow in their responsibilities. They have to grow in their duties mm-hmm. and also in the powers that they can exercise.
Mm.
And unfortunately, our democracy does not give a statutory responsibility, mm-hmm. a power mm-hmm. to the official opposition mm-hmm. so that its views are taken into consideration mm-hmm. when decisions are made by the ruling party.
Uh-huh.
There isn't anything like that. The majority rule principle will always suffice. So in other countries, you've got the duties and responsibilities mm-hmm. of the official opposition and its mm-hmm. leaders.
Yes.
Officially recognized in their constitutions, in their statutory provisions.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go very far. In Angola, mm-hmm. the president of UNITA is a member of the Security Council mm-hmm. of Angola.
Yeah.
In various other institutions, Seychelles, Mauritius, etc., the leader, the president of the official opposition,
mm-hmm.
contributes to the appointment of the fourth branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
The Electoral Commission, the various police commissions, etc.,
mm-hmm.
and proportionally nominates people to work yeah. based on the proportion they have in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
After all, parliament is the representative of the sovereign, the people.
Yes.
So the leader, the president of the official opposition in some jurisdictions mm-hmm. actually appoints one or two people to the Electoral Commission of Namibia. Mm-hmm. Now, that is critical in order to balance the forces within the execution of the democratic principles.
Yes.
Because if you have only people appointed mm-hmm. by one political party authority,
yeah.
and some of them clearly are members of that political party,
yes.
they are accountable to that political party head.
Only.
And this is the reason why mm-hmm. our democratic institutions, such as the Electoral Commission of Namibia,
yes.
cannot claim in any way mm-hmm. to be independent. That mm-hmm. is only a word in
yeah.
Article 94B, which says an independent impartial.
Yeah.
They are not independent impartial.
Mm.
And it's their actions that are telling us that they are not independent and impartial.
Mm.
And at the same time as well, when we now look in the legislature,
mm-hmm.
we then need to work out how are we going to assist these people. IPC has taken the recognition
mm-hmm.
that these people have never been politicians.
Yeah.
They are new. And
yeah.
that's why ever since the 21st of March, we spent a lot of time preparing them,
mm-hmm.
preparing them into how to become honorable members of
yeah.
that chamber.
Yes.
What does it mean
yes.
to be an honorable member
yes.
of that chamber?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to honor the dignity
mm-hmm.
of those people in the chamber
mm-hmm.
and to honor the dignity of the delegating authority and the sovereignty as well. Yes. When you excel yourself mm-hmm. within those chambers, mm-hmm. what is your duty and responsibility as well in empowering yourself mm-hmm. with knowledge so that your representation of the sovereign, of the people that voted for you, mm-hmm. perhaps not you directly, but the political party mm-hmm. that delegated you, so mm-hmm. that they can look upon you and say, yes, they are representing yes. us. At the same time as well, because the Namibian government is all those people in that chamber.
Mm-hmm.
How do they work together mm-hmm. and maintain unity
yeah.
without any question as to whether this unity is real?
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, within the chambers there mm-hmm. and within the executive, we had a lot of speech and slogans to unite Namibia and unite Namibians. But the action speaks something different.
They speak louder than words.
Yeah, and it speaks louder than words,
and
but
it's different words.
It's different words.
Mm.
And it's not telling us to be united. But I can understand if people are coming from a party that is not united, that is falling apart, you know, don't question it, because all empires that we know in the world,
yeah.
they crumbled
yeah.
one of the days.
Yeah.
And we are seeing an empire crumbling in front
yeah.
of us.
Mm.
And there is a lot of denial within that empire
mm.
that we are not falling apart.
Yeah.
They are falling apart. We are not
mm.
talking about them not talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's the actions that they are not carrying out that is showing us that they are falling apart.
Yeah.
You know, mommy and daddy, if they are not talking at home, the kids know.
Yeah.
These two
can feel it.
They are not. Mm. They can feel it.
Yes.
Even the way on the dinner table mm-hmm. that is served, they can feel it.
Yeah.
So we are in a country completely dysfunctional.
Okay.
Dysfunctional in that
mm.
Her Excellency, the President of this country, is mm. leading a party which is dysfunctional.
Mm.
Now, if you can't manage your own party, how do you manage the whole country? It's very dangerous. We are also noting a lot of promises and promises
mm.
that were just mere words.
Yeah.
3,000 for the elderly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not 3,000. And money for all the students going to university. Now there is a discrepancy as to which ones should be given and not. And then suddenly we had a moratorium.
Mm.
All these people who sacrificed their lives
mm-hmm.
for the independence of our country,
yeah.
sacrificed their youth.
Yeah.
Now, when they no longer here,
mm-hmm.
when they die, they are not buried.
Yeah.
I just been to two of my colleagues that were with me.
Mm-hmm.
We called them comrade that
comrade,
time. Because
yeah,
comrade meant something different. It's not this greedy comrade of opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, those two comrades of mine, they spent 6 months with me in prison,
mm-hmm.
in the same cell,
mm-hmm.
doing the same things, etc., passing time and talking and teaching each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent a lot longer than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And we were released. And I had to go to Kietmans to bury one of them.
Mm.
Government didn't participate in that.
Mm.
And then another one was buried in Umaruru. Government did not participate in that. You know, now we've got that situation. What brought it about? I understand when we participated in the liberation struggle,
yeah.
we were not promised anything.
Yeah.
Our only promise was independence. So that's
yeah.
fine. We've got independence. We were rewarded.
Yes.
Those that went into that liberation struggle with that intention
yes.
to attain independence, we attained that independence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my reward.
Yeah.
Although I'm a veteran,
yes.
if they don't bury me, I know that a lot of my patriots and others will bury me.
You.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's the route that everybody needs to take as well.
Yeah.
So, we've got not only a government that is dysfunctional,
yeah.
but it's also got a government where corruption that has been surfacing for years and years is suddenly coming to be prosecuted.
Forefront. Yeah, to
but,
the forefront.
You know, you can't take credit for that because mm-hmm. this is something that has been investigated a long time ago.
Yeah.
100 cases were investigated in Namcor alone,
mm.
but none of them were brought
to the forefront
of the judiciary.
Yeah.
And also, because that didn't take place, that's why I'm saying the entire system is falling apart.
Mm.
And we need to be very careful as Namibians. And I'm speaking as a leader of a political party, president of the IPC, mm. and I've got a responsibility.
Mm.
And my responsibility and that of a political party
yeah.
is to be able to educate the public.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to do, mm. hopefully doing it successfully as well, to make sure that we mobilize the people mm. to understand what is taking place, because it's your life.
Yeah.
It's not only my life. Mm. It's your neighbor's life.
Mm.
It's your children's life and your children's children's life.
Mm.
You have got a responsibility now. You've got a duty to ensure that we protect this democracy.
Mm.
You know, at the moment, we've got a situation whereby the entire executive is new.
Yeah.
They are lay politicians lay. With responsibilities. What do we expect them to achieve in a short period of time of 3 months?
Mm.
People were asking, Dr. Itula, what would you say has Her Excellency Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa,
mm.
I'm not calling her doctor because I didn't award that to her. You know, and I know she didn't work hard for it either. Not in an academic institution. You know, this tendency of titles in Namibia is sickening. You know, everyone wants to be a doctor. Everyone wants to be a doctor. I don't know what they feel like. You know, if you want to be a doctor, go and sit in a university.
And then be a doctor
and
by merit.
Suffer for it. By merit. You know, if you want to be a doctor,
mm.
go to that institution. When you enter that institution that called you doctor,
yeah.
they can call you doctor there, not in Namibia. You know, whether you call it now the Itula rule.
So, rule of law.
So we now have got people calling for what happened in 3 months.
Yeah.
Now, what is the 3 months, 100 days
mm.
relevant to Namibia?
Mm.
You know, the history of the 100 days comes from Roosevelt, Franklin
mm.
Roosevelt,
mm.
in 1936,
yeah.
where America was in a depression.
Mm-hmm.
And in that depression, mm. when he was elected, the question was,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to revive everything else? And the economy did a lot of things within 100 days. But he did that because the American president has got executive powers.
Yeah.
The Namibian president hasn't got executive powers.
Mm.
And at the same time, the president, Her Excellency Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa, you know, there is a difference between the president Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa
mm-hmm.
and Madam Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwa. These are two different entities.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking about this one,
okay.
not the other one.
Okay.
And I'll slash this one out, the president. You know, the other one, the entity, the person,
yeah.
you know, that one, you know, with all respect.
Yeah.
But this one is occupying an institution,
mm.
the presidency, that mm. I must, by constitutional obligation, respect.
Yes.
But if they are messing up, I've got a mm-hmm. duty as the president of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia
mm.
to make sure
mm.
that they get it right.
Yeah.
And they can't get it wrong.
Mm.
They haven't finished appointing everybody yet. So the government is not complete yet. So how do I then go and criticize them? I mean, I heard the whistle of the train at Windhoek Station
mm-hmm.
and the steam went up and the smoke went up, but the wheels just rolled on the rails and moved not an inch.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is it that you are going to criticize?
Mm.
Now, we don't conduct popularist politics
yeah.
where we'll come up and just start throwing criticism there.
Of course.
No, that is not how you need to conduct politics. And
mm.
I've been in politics for
yeah.
over 50 years, and I've observed politics in Western democracies, Eastern democracies, and I've West African democracies.
Yes.
That's not how you conduct politics.
Mm.
Every little thing that moves you, you throw it on Gunya or whatever, mm. you know. No, you need to be able, one,
mm-hmm.
to be able to scrutinize situations,
yes.
analyze them,
mm-hmm.
and then really give credit where it's due,
yes.
and we will do that.
Yes.
But what we've got in this country is a lack of tolerance
mm.
in the political atmosphere,
mm.
a lack of cooperation,
mm.
and a lack of compromises.
Yeah.
And that is being depicted now in the Namibian government.
Mm.
The Namibian government, unfortunately, Her Excellency's voice is much more of divisions.
Oh.
It's not uniting this country.
Mm-hmm.
And she will probably be known as the most divisive
mm.
president of the republic.
Mm.
Now, in order to practice democracy, you must be inclusive.
Yeah.
You must be inclusive in everything else. You must be tolerant of differences as well.
Yes.
And you must be able to say, I contested with somebody.
Mm.
The election didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a compromise. The democratic institutions have failed us.
Mm-hmm.
And I emerged.
Yeah.
You emerged because of a complete irregular process.
Mm.
There was no fairness in that process if there was an irregularity. Mm. It's not necessary to talk about the judiciary. I'll come to them as well. You know, they ought to be criticized for their wrongdoings as well. As perceived by us.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily as it's written in law books or anything like that.
Mm.
So, when you want to unite a nation, you must demonstrate inclusivity.
Yeah.
Our late president used to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it was practiced.
Mm-hmm.
But you must demonstrate inclusivity. And I've got a right to criticize Her Excellency Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah.
Mm-hmm.
One, if you contest it in a contestation and you allegedly came first, you need to embrace the person that was contesting with you. Because without that person, there would be contestation.
There would be no competition.
And just to say, oh, hello, come to my inauguration. Unfortunately, you didn't make it. I make it, whatever the mechanism.
Yeah.
Remember, history will only remember who took the power, not how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
That would have given me an indication as the president of IPC, the official opposition designate of the Republic of Namibia, to acknowledge now that there is somebody in State House.
Yes.
Because I witnessed the inauguration.
Yes.
I was invited.
Yeah.
I was not to that event at all. And then here we come, Sona, the president of the official opposition. Yes, we know the rules, only members of that chamber. But just as much as the president of the republic is invited there, you can invite other observers in there as well.
Yeah.
There was that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, despite long periods in government, the honorable speaker did not take it upon it to say, when I'm the speaker of this chamber,
there
are political parties in here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be blind of what is outside. This political party's president clearly is Dr. Panduleni Itula. Let me extend that courtesy of saying, we are now constituting ourselves. Could you come? Because the president, your opposite side, is coming to deliver.
Yes.
After all, you contested together. And you decided that you are not going to go to parliament because you don't want to violate the constitution that you are going to give an oath to.
Yeah.
So it would have been a courtesy.
Yeah.
And then here we come. We've got genocide inauguration. It was sickening. The people who are the descendants of those who suffered injustices historically during that inhuman conditions that was inflicted upon the Namibian people by the German government, then, even if we are not considered as Namibia at that time, they were not even invited. It was poorly organized. I would have expected the new generation to be given a depiction of what took place. What is it that we are inaugurating? But again, the president of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia was not invited. And it took place in Parliament Gardens. Well, Parliament Gardens is the garden, is the parliament of the Republic of Namibia. But what we were treated to is speeches by the vice president introducing the president and speaking the usual rhetoric. But where are the descendants of the people who should be central to this event? That is what
because
I would have
that's
done.
That's for them.
Yes, it's for them.
It's not,
and for
it's
them, like, through them to us all as Namibians, now that we are constituted in that jurisdiction. Where were they? Where was the president of the official opposition who represents nearly 300,000 Namibians that voted for us? Now, some of the tenets and principles of democracy is equality. No one should be discriminated. And the minorities must be protected. If the minorities means the official opposition representing the minority of the Namibian people, where is Her Excellency in executing her constitutional responsibilities, protecting in her deeds and also in her
actions
the minorities in this country? If the IPC as a political party, as a minority according to the system itself, is not being respected even to be invited to state events. Because what is the state after all? What does the state represent? What does the head of state represent? I know in her speech she said that she will be a president for all Namibians. The truth is, and the conduct and the action She's a president for some of the Namibians. Mm. Because when the president or the right honorable prime minister of India, the largest democracy, you know, there are 900 million voters in India.
Sure.
900 million. The largest democracy in the world.
Mm.
When that demonstration of what democracy means, the representative came to Namibia. We, having been born out democratic process of the United Nations, we ought to have been much more representative of what we really mean embracing democracy.
Yes.
Three events were organized. At the first event, all the SWAPO MPs were invited. Second event, all of them were invited. Third event, all of them and other people were invited, and someone called Honorable Panduleni Itula. And Itula spelled with double I. And I thought to myself, now.
Is it me or is it someone else?
You are inviting me. This one, the third event was a luncheon.
Okay.
Food. You are inviting me. You are inviting me to come and eat food. Is that
not witness greatness?
No, but is that the degree of recognition of the importance and duties and powers of the official opposition and its leader? What a demeaning manner of recognizing the democratic process that brought you about into power, whichever way it did. Not recognizing the role of the official opposition. Are you trying to say the role of the official opposition is to eat food?
No.
So there is all this demonstrations of, I'm not going to be a president for all Namibians, and I will not be adhering to the principles of democracy. So it's very important, therefore, for us as Namibians to adopt a civic education to make sure that we actually embrace democracy and make sure that our democracy continue to live in practice as it's designed to be. Now, at the moment, we've got a defective democratic process. The official opposition in the Republic of Namibia and its leader is nowhere mentioned in the Namibian constitution. Nothing whatsoever. And there is no law in Namibia, whether it's the Electoral Act or Parliamentary Act or any of those acts, that actually says during an election, the party that gets most votes will be the ruling party. And the party the next second votes will be the official opposition. There isn't anything like that. So we are driving on this sort of conventions.
Somebody said it and we are going.
Somebody's doing it. You know, Commonwealth, the United Kingdom, which is the Commonwealth head, did it, and they've got a system that we are following. Even our chambers are designed in that square type of thing with the ruling party on the right and the opposition on the left. Up to now, the official opposition has not even been designated the very first seats on the left of the speaker. Whether it's by default or it's one of their own destructive natures to say democracy as far as SWAPO is concerned, and the speaker who's supposed to be neutral and impartial will only work according to their rules. So it's absolutely appalling. So you cannot call yourself a democratic parliament when you don't adhere to the same principles, of that Commonwealth principles that you adhere to.
Where you nitpick.
You know, you should have copy-paste that.
Yeah.
We are good at that as Namibian, but you are refusing to do this.
Yeah.
You are not very good as a Namibian there.
You want.
So we've got this situation where we are falling apart and we seem not to be picking it up so that we can correct it in good time as well. And what I really think is this, when we got our parliamentarians, we needed to make sure that we sit with them, we teach them how to speak, etiquette, protocol, you know, how do you blow your nose in public, not that they have been doing that, but how do you eat, how do you sit as an honorable member, how do you stand up and speak in an honorable house, how do you address with respecting the dignity of everybody else, so that they say, of course, there's a little bit of this drama now and then, etc., that makes the house a little bit lively, etc. And I've seen one of the parliamentarians in the UK called Dennis Skinner. It's a classic sort of parliamentarian. parliamentarian. Mm. He will stand up and take the mace and walk out to disturb everything else. Mm. And he knows that he's going to be excluded for a period of time. Mm. But he put a little bit of life in that area as well. But I've just heard in the UK as well that the Labour Prime Minister now suspended four of his ministers out of parliament. Just like that. That is democracy.
Mm.
So, but we've got situations in this country where people within that chamber call people names.
Yes.
Even use the F word.
Mm.
And the speaker is telling you, I didn't hear it. It's not you who is offended when it's stated for you to justify hearing it is a reason for you to act.
Mm.
It's the person who's offended that is the one who's aggrieved.
Yes.
That has got the right to say that must be within up to now. Mm. So what is so honorable about that? And what is so exemplary about our leaders there when those words from the other side of the house, the right hand side, are thrown in? Somebody was saying, I'm not in your mother's house and all these other things. And you think to yourself, there isn't any restrictions when parliament is on. They start at 2 o'clock. Who knows when the kids go home, what they are watching when mommy's at work.
Yes.
And they hear these words from adults who are supposed to be the honorable, respected members. What example are we actually laying down for our own future generations of politicians?
Yeah.
So the conduct of members of parliament from the other side, you know, our members are very, very well behaved because they are coming from a party that respect the rule of law. Now, talking about the rule of law, democratic governance has to be an Afrikaansel, a metgeesel. They must be, they must work together, go alongside with rule of law. And rule of law means the law must be transparent. It must be predictable. It must be accountable. It must be of equal and impartial application.
Yes.
Any law, it doesn't matter whether it's standing rules in parliament or whether it's an act of parliament, it must be of equal and impartial application. Transparent means we need to see it.
See it, yeah.
Predictable means it must do what it's designed to do at the time that it's designed to do it. Accountable, it must be accountable for what it's doing.
Yes.
Now, we've seen this electoral process where on the 14th of August, Honorable Charles Dahuna Molo, I hope he's getting well in hospital, in his hospital bed, read on the 14th of August that election will be conducted in one day, the amendment bill of the electoral amendment bill. One day. What does one day mean? What is intended by one day? One day means 24 hours. One day. It means a Monday or a Tuesday. It doesn't mean Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's not open to interpretation. That's why when we've got the legislators, the makers of the law, when they say, one day elections. One day. It must be predictable so that I can prepare my agencies and the electoral processes and travel to come and do my election and go back where I am from my constituency. It must be predictable.
Yeah.
It must be transparent. We must all see it.
Yes.
It must be accountable. It must do what it's supposed to do. And we had that one day and a polling day. And the ECN, that's why I'm saying the Electoral Commission is compromised.
Yeah.
Because of their own incompetence, they decided that it's not going to be one day, but it's going to be 3 days. Don't tell me that the executive there, which is supposed to implement the laws, the legislators here in parliament make the laws. It's not up to the executive to amend the law in the process of implementation?
Yeah.
No. It is wrong.
Yeah.
And this is where we need to squarely criticize the judiciary. I will be shocked that all five leaders of our judiciary, including the president and the president, the judge president, would have been sitting in those chambers, the honorable chambers, interpreting the laws, and they interpret the law to mean more days. It is shocking. I'm sure if I go to school, a child that is in a classroom, I say, what is the meaning of one day to you? We'll say, it's one day. Uh-huh. And it's not subject to interpretation of laws by a proclamation of 1922 before we got our democratic constitution. So our democratic constitution and our democratic laws are now subject to interpretation by a tool archaic from 1922. What kind of democratic governance do we have? So the judiciary itself is also compromised. You know, everyone can go and quote me. It's also compromised. And I'm not saying it because of hearsay. It's their own actions.
Yeah.
It is impossible for a legislative chamber anywhere in the world to legislate that electoral process shall take place within one day. Go and look for the Oxford Dictionary or anything else what one day means. One means one. Day means 24 hours.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Galileo told us how the earth is turning and things like that. So we know that.
Yeah.
There is no way you can then go and take another tool to interpret this when Parliament has said it. No.
One day means, it means 78
that.
Hours.
So the electoral process that brought about the presidency of Her Excellency Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah is compromised. She's a compromised president, and she should be able to acknowledge that. And no wonder, because she's a compromised president, she will never, the biggest decision in her life that she must take is to invite Dr. Panduleni Itula as president of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia to State House. The last time I know there was a president there is Dr. Hage Gottfried Kinkop, because he invited me there. We contested together. He invited me there. And we shook hands and talked, and we moved on for
well
the sake
played.
Of Namibia.
Yeah, you know,
absolutely
well played.
Absolutely mature politics.
Yes, well played.
But vengeance, you know, I don't know where the vengeance is, whether it's this part of Madame Netumbo or it's the Her Excellency, the president. So you cannot unite people, Madame Netumbo, or Your Excellency Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, when you are not even prepared to speak to the leader of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia, of which you are the head of state. You can't do that. It's like having a house. You know, especially those chaps who had more wives. You know, you decide that
I'm taking up another one, but I'm not
listening
to the first
this
one.
This one, I'm not talking to you. But you are still calling everybody that this is my house. You can't have a house that you are the head
it's
of.
Not united.
And you are not uniting it.
Yeah.
You know, my advice to Her Excellency is take up your maternal instinct and act accordingly and blend it with your constitutional obligations.
Yeah.
You have to speak to everybody. That is tolerance and that is compromise, which brings up about cooperation. Now,
because we are no longer fighting.
No,
now,
I mean,
we are no longer in the race. Right now we are governing. Right now we are running this show.
And
right now we are doing what we need to do.
So
in order for us to do this successfully, we have to work together.
And the whole thing is that, you know, politicians are worse.
they
are worse than musicians. An orchestra, once the conductor is there, when the electoral commission said something, they will all strike the note at the same time and sing in harmony.
Yes.
That's not politics. There is no harmony in politics. But there is compromise.
Yes.
You have to be able to compromise. You are not going to be right all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they may say that Itula is unleashing now on anybody. No. I'm trying to save Namibian democracy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to advise how best, as the official leader of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia, should be doing. It's my duty to keep the government accountable. It's my duty to scrutinize the conduct of government. It's my duty, when necessary, to criticize it, but not for everything they do.
Yeah.
Today, I understand they were launching, what is that, NDP-6.
Okay.
Well, Vision 2030, it's all words. We still have got massive unemployment.
Yeah.
We still have got hospitals falling apart without medicine. We still have got schools that has got no classrooms and books. We still have got the elderly without their 3,000. Mm. We still have got our veterans not being buried.
Recognized even.
No, not even recognized for the deeds. Yeah. Because I believe that when the SWAPO party advised government to bury our veterans, they were quite right. I don't know whether the SWAPO party, given this that situation, was actually consulted before government brought in the moratorium.
Yeah.
Because obviously the initiator of the process should have been consulted. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cause arguments in that chamber there, on that side there.
Inherited hospital.
We have got a dilapidating governance.
Yeah.
That's why I said our democracy is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to every single individual to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the duties of being a citizen, you know, this word citizen comes from the word city. Because in those city states of Athens and Greeks, the people in a city were called citizens. So when we expanded to become a country, we are also called citizens.
Mm.
We are probably supposed to be countryans, you know, something like that. So every citizen, you can't sit down and say, I don't do politics.
Yeah.
While you are sitting in a light or
whole life is politics.
Even burning wood. Yeah. Remember, Natir says don't cut, you know? So even fishing is regulated. It's all politics.
Hunting.
It comes, it comes from that chamber. Sending children to school. Going to buy bread.
Yes.
There is tax, value added tax.
Yeah.
It's politics. It's determined by government.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say it's not politics. So, the duty and what I want to do in the next few months is to come to talk about the duty of a responsible citizen.
Okay.
Two words, the coexistence in the Republic of Namibia.
Mm.
Your duty is to participate in political activities.
Yeah.
It's a constitutional right that you are given, and it's not discretionary as far as I'm concerned, although it's a right which are discretionary, you can exercise a right or not. This is a completely duty that you cannot go away with, because if you are really going to honor all those who sacrifice, from the Mahareros, the Vet Boys, the Mandumes, the Nuyomas, if you are going to honor all the unknown soldiers that perished in the liberation struggles, both generational and through, if you are going to honor them, your duty as a citizen is to participate in political activities by belonging to a political party, by having discussions about politics in the house, in the classroom, at work, to understand what is going in your country. But sitting back is being not only cowardice, but is betrayal of the sacrifices of those people that actually fought for our independence. And I think that one thing that we need to do, and I'll do that, I'll go around the country to speak to the people that would want to come in, is to educate our people.
Yeah.
As leader of the political party, the reason why I didn't go to parliament is both constitutional and two, because I am not doing this for now or for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for Namibia. For Namibia to change, IPC has to be determined to be able to educate the Namibian people and to make sure that we build this formidable party.
Yes.
And this is what I need to do. When we are building this formidable party, there is one area that we will not compromise. Our responsibility as a political party, the law, the electoral law in section 135 subsection 2 says that the principal object of a political party is to participate in and promote democratic elections.
Yeah.
How do we do it? Why are the political party leaders not promoting that? Why are they not going to radios to educate the public? Why are the media being discriminatory when they report on IPC? It's all negative. You know, one of the medias, I think is Confidante, I think, that said, prominent members of IPC resigned from Ongwediva. Now, what is prominent?
Who is this prominent?
Know, I mean, don't these people, I am told, they are not even branch chairpersons.
Prominent.
No, they were just ordinary member. Now, for the Confidante, they are prominent. And in order to seek to damage a legitimate, lawfully registered political party, you completely abandon your professional ethical responsibility as a media. That fourth estate that is responsible and charged to inform and educate the public about the truth is now lying and being economic with the truth by telling the public just one side or one political party, but not the others.
Yeah.
You know, there's a number of the newspapers that say they are good newspapers, etc. They're good radios. But some of them are deliberately just anything IPC, cut it down, sabotage. This creature does not exist and it should not be in the dispensation of political activities in Namibia. We've got a legitimate constitutional right in Article 17 to form and join political parties.
Yes.
Why are the media not being impartial and report ethically and accurately so that the public is well informed? I must warn the public. Don't read a newspaper and don't buy a newspaper that tells you lies.
If I didn't say it, it's not true.
No, because if you are buying a newspaper that tells lies, you are promoting the destruction of Namibian democratic governance. Because within our democratic governance is the voice of the media.
Yes.
It's critical to inform the public, to research, to even hold government to account.
Yes.
Some of the newspapers will not report on corruption.
Yes.
Some of the members of parliament inside that parliament will never criticize Fishrod or those known to have been associated with Fishrod. And they will project them as the most important parliamentarians, able to orators, etc. Yet ask them to condemn those entities that were involved in Fishrod. No. Whatever the reasons, if you are there as a parliamentarian, as a delegated representative, representing the interests of the sovereign, and you are not there representing a political party's interest, when you speak, you speak on behalf of the sovereign, even if you are sent there by another political party. You must be truthful. You must be honorable. You can't be honorable when you choose to speak about certain issues and not all the issues. You can't be honorable. You are not only denying yourself the ethical principle of an honorable member of that house, but you are also misleading the public into believing that you really want to hold the government to account, but you are not holding it account on Fishrod, on Namkorsi stealing. You can't go around the blackmail of exposures and all these things and call it politics. No. Holding government to accountable is indiscriminate. You need to hit them left and right when they go wrong. You know, that is what IPC is doing. When we speak, when our members
maybe
speak,
there's a sense of fear that they do. Maybe there's a sense of fear. If I speak, then I lose my position here and I lose my bread and butter.
that chamber should immunize you. You know, they've got political, they've got immunity from what they're saying. Yes, it's true as well that if you have been put there by others and you are put there for a specific purpose and you are not executing that specific purpose, I will understand the origin of your fear.
Yeah.
And I will understand why you will be somewhat fearful to criticize. For example, a lot of the public is saying, why is Advocate Sisa Namanje not arrested when Saki Shangala is in prison, when Esau is in prison? Yet, Hipunya said that the money was given to Sisa Namanje for SWAPO activities.
Yeah.
But that is what the public is questioning.
Mm.
But let's get every single political party leader and every political member of parliament there.
Yeah.
Call that. I've got this thing that the public is brave.
Yeah.
The parliamentarians are not so brave.
They are not so brave.
I'm talking about the non-IPC parliamentarians. They are not that brave to be able to stand up. Even Nipundilo, that lady that has got TikToks, Nipundilo Shindi, she is much more braver than everybody else. And she happened to be a member of IPC.
IPC,
but she's got a brain of her own. But our members of parliament, I want to challenge them,
yeah,
especially those on the left-hand side of the chambers.
Mm.
Ask the question in parliament which the public is asking.
Mm.
Why is SWAPO party that was the beneficiary of the fish rot still benefiting from our democratic processes?
Mm.
Is it not compromising our democratic governance when we've got thieves or people who benefited from the thieves that are in here? We've got people now in the NAMCOR that are alleged to have funded Her Excellency's campaign. Your Excellency, one dignified thing that you can actually say is to say, I've just heard that my campaign at that spot and that spot paid for by X and Y and Z entities.
I would like to investigate.
Surely, when you are campaigning, you keep record of the accounts of the money and who contributed.
Mm.
Yes, we've seen cows given, etc., by corrupt individuals or allegedly corrupt individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, could Her Excellency, if she's genuine in her urge to nab the corruption in the bud as it ill, can she demonstrate that I had this person paid for mine, now that they are like that, get out? If she can't do that, she's just as guilty as those who are now standing trial. Now, when we've got a president of that nature, when democratic institutions such as the presidency is occupied by somebody whose march to the presidency had been compromised because of the people who funded it.
Yeah.
You know, you can call it blood money. You can call it money that has caused so much suffering, that has caused lack of medicine in hospitals, lack of schools, lack of unemployment to the young people. That is the money that has been stolen. The millions that were stolen. If they had gone into the government coffers and into our revenue coffers, they would have contributed to the provision of our social services. Now, if I were the president, yes, you will all say you will not be the president. You know, say that again. But if you were the president, would you keep quiet when people are saying someone who is being tried, supported your campaign? So these campaigns of the SWAPO party is now becoming trendy. To be supported by rook elements.
Every election.
You cannot sit down there as a Namibian and start criticizing Itula and pointing a finger to Itula by saying what is right and what is correct and by challenging Her Excellency, the President of this country, to come out very clean and denounce her contributory activities that led to her being the president by being sponsored by people known to have been involved in corruption. You cannot rub shoulders with corrupt elements and say you are fighting it. How do you find somebody next door to you? So we cannot just pay lip service to governance. We need to be serious. It's people's lives. It's the future of this country. It's the credibility of this country in the world. We lost that. And those that are sitting in the Electoral Commission of Namibia had the nerve to produce a report without the stakeholders having been consulted. They did not call the stakeholders for us to say, how was the electoral process? You want to basically top down tell us it was all fair and free. When you have been completely incompetent, you are incompetent. You told us, and they have been so incompetent, you told us election is going to be one day. We prepared agencies and everybody else to supervise the elections for one day. And you didn't even come forward to say that. Did you expend any money for the 2-3 days that we actually did? You cannot run a democratic institution like that. I would have fired all the commissioners. I would have fired LC the next day. I would have fired Sharma the next day. And I would have changed the law as well. So that these people are not appointed by the president. Because if you appoint somebody who's incompetent, why are they still there? They prove that they are incompetent. If Netumbo Nandi Daitwa, Her Excellency, keeps these people in that position to run these elections, it's because she's prepared to have incompetence in the democratic governance of this country. They are the custodians of our democracy. They are the ones that are actually responsible that our democracy is carried out properly in accordance with a rule of law, transparent, predictable, accountable, equal and impartial application. But it was not transparent. It was not accountable. They had to go and change rules. So we cannot have our democracy carried out anymore like this. And I think I'm calling upon the Namibian people, those that really cares for the future of their children, those that really has got it in their hearts, close to their hearts, that they want a better prosperity for their children and generations to come.
Yeah.
Those that really think that I went to university and I'm worthy of employment, I'm worthy a life to start my life as a young person, get married and see children growing and take them to
have
school. That dream is falling apart, is being shattered by these corrupt institutions that we've got in this country. The breakdown of our governance, democratic governance institutions and the breakdown of our officials needs a complete overhaul. And you cannot just put ministers there. And already we are getting signals things are not right already. You know, you haven't gone to 10 kilos an hour. You started at 5. You are still already being questioned as to whether you are associated with all the unruly sort of situations.
Yes.
So at the same time, the only way we can clean up is to clean up the entire administrative branches of government. Yes, we've got wonderful, hardworking men and women in there. We've got wonderful, hardworking men and women in uniform.
Yes.
But we've got elements that are corrupting these institutions. And if we get this to grow, we will really be fearful of our own existence. Peace would have been compromised. And peace cannot be compromised in this country. We want to make sure that we don't want to call people out on the streets and demand government to implement the rule of law and government to implement the perseverance of our wealth in this country, not to be stolen through corruption. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But what we are signaling is this, that things cannot go on like this. Her Excellency has to stand up and say, I cannot go on the same path. You can't proclaim what was the word business unusual or whatever. I love these terminologies that I use. And yet implementation is far from actually the pronouncement. You know, it's not even audible. It's like hammering something and you can see the hammer landing, but not the sound. You know, that's what is happening. All this pronouncement is the same thing. Is the speed of sound with the speed of light. You see the hammer going down and you can't see anything coming out to make people. Well, unfortunately, Her Excellency is known for sugar on the lips. The elderly were told 3,000 and they all went voting. When I went to the north there, the elderly are angry. I was in a church and the elderly came and say, Dr. Itula, we were promised 3,000. Where is it? I said, Her Excellency said you are not getting it. Oh, but she promised. You know, I said, oh, kulupe twa I don't want to use those words in English, but that's what they told me.
Yeah.
That they were, that Her Excellency was economic with the truth. She should have told them,
economic.
We've got no money after all.
Economic with the truth.
Well, they say I've been in England for a long
time.
My
dear, economic with the truth.
So, even Honorable Shimi stated there was no money. And that was trouble.
Huh.
Okay? So, we cannot allow this government to carry on. And I'm calling upon the youth. Start participating in political activities because change will not come when you are sitting at home. Even your own hope for a change by clasping your hands together, it will not come.
Yeah.
It will not come to you. What you need to do is to make absolutely sure as a responsible citizen.
Yes.
And you don't want Dr. Itula to call you irresponsible
of
citizen
course not.
If you don't participate in politics. Choose the political party of your choice.
Yeah.
But choose it with a conscious of understanding its principles.
Yeah.
And
what
it's also
stands for,
what it stands for. And also Don't choose a political party and resign next day and then you start
jumping and hopping.
Jumping and hopping and I don't want to use prostitution, but,
but it you know, comes pretty close.
Yeah, well, you said it, not me. So, we want you to be a responsible, mature adult.
Yes.
Participate in political activities.
Yes.
Read the constitution of that political party and the aims and objectives.
Yeah.
Read the manifesto of that party, what it's intending to
make sure
do for
there.
You.
It's you know, aligned with
so
you.
That you actually say, this is what I'm hoping for me
yes.
as a citizen,
yes.
and this is what I'm hoping for the unit of family that I'm going to create and the children.
Mm.
And I want to leave a legacy of having made a choice that has brought about change in the Republic of Namibia.
Mm.
I want all the Namibians, if at all possible, to participate one way or the other, either by raising their voice. Yes, do raise your voice and raise the voices so that our shadow ministers can actually go and present it in parliament. Now, the final thing I need to do.
Tate,
is,
Tula, before you get to the final thing, previously or last week, I had a conversation on pulling heartstrings. I had a conversation about, survival mode. Now, I'm one of those psychology people. I like the brain. I like the heart. I like the well-being of the people, right?
Yeah.
And one of, my callers called in and, his interest is basically politics.
Okay.
So the question was, do you believe that we are living in survival mode as people? And he said that let us take it into a country perspective. And we put it in a country perspective, and it is said that when a country is in survival mode, right, it is a state where the nation's focus shifts to basic necessities and immediate needs due to the severe challenges, potentially leading to a decline in overall well-being of development within the country. So now when we hear this about survival mode in terms of a country, would you say that Oturimo survival mode dano?
Did I just not say that? Did I not just say that for an hour and a half?
No, I heard it for an hour and a half, but I was like, I need.
We are in limbo.
We're in limbo.
We are there.
Oh.
But, you know, I want people to get out of that.
Yeah.
So that you actively, you talked about brain.
Yeah.
I want your mind to engage.
Yeah.
So that your mind can drive the person.
Yeah.
Can drive your inner.
Yeah.
To be able to judge and to make right decisions.
Yes.
And to say, I will do this because I don't want to be hovering. It's like somebody who.
A helicopter parent.
Well, it's like somebody where there is a crash on a big ship.
Yeah.
And you are in a dinghy in the ocean.
Yeah.
You are just floating there. You don't know. You can't drink the water. You can't eat all the food. You are holding on, taking a crumble until rescue come.
Yeah.
We can't wait for a rescue.
Rescue.
The United Nations will not come here
There's
and rescue
no one coming.
Us. We are now our own masters and masters of our own democracy.
Oh.
And we need to make sure that we clearly understand the principles that actually brings about governance in our country.
Yeah.
What your role will be as an individual citizen, what the role of political parties will be and political party leaders, what the role of the media is, what the role of civil society, non-governmental organization, what the role of the church is.
Mm.
After all, they are also the shepherds of the sheep.
Yes.
What is the role of church in democracy?
Mm.
We cannot have an institution, a religious institution. Yes, democracy means, you know, political activities, religious activities, cultural activities, all of that. We cannot have a religious institution that is bringing people into a church and preach to them with disregard from where they are coming from.
Yeah, of where we are.
That is responsible, and I must apologize to the clergy. But I cannot but seek an apology, but I cannot be restrained in saying it's irresponsible.
Yeah.
If the clergy is not educating the folks about where they are coming from.
Yeah.
Some of them are coming without breakfast.
Mm.
Some of them are going to homes where people are ill. Some of them are going to homes where people are unemployed.
Mm.
You can't just thank them to contribute to the gifts, like, for example, Oshipe now in the north, etc., without bearing in mind where they are coming from. They are human beings belonging in this community, mm-hmm. in this society, mm-hmm. in this country.
Yes.
All the leaders, you know, I was reading in Roman 13, chapter 1, verses 1, chapter 13,
mm-hmm.
which we used to read a lot in parliament, which says that everyone is subject to an authority and all the authority comes to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to query the question of, if the authority
comes to God,
comes from God,
uh-huh.
how can we have leaders
mm.
that are so devastating in the manner in which they guide us?
Yeah.
You know, I've got a feeling that some of the leaders, you know, notwithstanding contradicting the Bible,
yeah.
are really not from God.
Yeah.
Unless God wants some of the people to suffer
to be like that.
Unemployment, etc. Yeah. And that is nothing with the church at all. But mm. that was the script that I read in church yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember reading the same script somewhere else as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a script that was so fundamental to us when we were in prison.
Mm.
We were questioning, can the South African government really be from God
yeah.
by torturing us?
Yeah.
But here we've got our own government,
mm-hmm.
our own excellency, Her Excellency Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah,
mm-hmm.
allegedly elected by the people. There's nothing you can do about that. She took the oath of office. It's the constitution. We abide by the constitution mm-hmm. and we will respect the institution she occupies as well.
Yes.
You may have differences with her. You still have to respect her because
her.
She is occupying a significant national institution.
Yeah.
So here we've got our leader.
Mm-hmm.
But is our leader uniting us?
Yeah.
Is she actually uniting us? Mm. If you are inviting only members of SWAPO
mm.
from a parliament to meet with the Right Honorable Prime Minister of India,
a country,
is that inclusive?
Mm. A country.
Are you demonstrating unity?
Party. Mm.
If you are inviting the leader of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia
mm.
to lunch
mm-hmm.
with the Prime Minister of India.
Mm.
Are you really inclusive? Is mm. it not time that the leader of the official opposition in the Republic of Namibia, who is the president of that party,
yeah.
which party was elected by some 300,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and therefore that being the minority,
mm-hmm.
that the minority rights are represented by that president,
mm-hmm.
that should also be invited to mm. all activities
yeah.
taking place in the Republic of Namibia. If the Bank of Namibia is launching something,
mm-hmm.
I must give them my hands up, really.
Mm.
They invite me there.
Yeah.
Because they want me to know what they are doing.
Yeah.
Because I've got a responsibility as president of the official opposition
mm-hmm.
to hold the government to account.
Yes.
But how do I hold the government to account
mm-hmm.
when the very government mm. is excluding me, not practicing inclusivity
mm.
like Uncle Hake used
or
to do?
Transparency.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, government institutions, when they are conducting anything, it's not just good to ask the governor
mm-hmm.
or to ask the president to come there.
Mm-hmm.
Invite, be tolerant enough.
Yes.
Invite the president of the official opposition.
Mm-hmm.
That way, we will keep our democracy together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We will shine in SADC. Will
mm-hmm.
shine in the EU, will shine globally.
Yes.
That our tolerance
mm-hmm.
has gone beyond political mm-hmm. differences,
mm-hmm.
beyond political allegiances,
mm-hmm.
beyond anything else.
We have a common
and we
goal.
Live together with a common goal
yes.
in this country as Namibians.
Mm.
Only then can mm. we call ourselves Namibians.
Mm.
Until such then we are united.
Mm-hmm.
We can't talk about one Namibia, one nation.
No, yeah.
we are still working towards that one nation.
Mm-hmm.
We are still having lay politicians,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps a lay president as well. Who knows?
We don't know.
She's still getting on to get the steering wheel right.
Mm-hmm.
And lay ministers as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are still getting to the habit there. But I want to emphasize that parliament is the cooking pot of politicians.
Mm-hmm.
All of them at the moment are just, you know, chronicles.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get them ready
mm-hmm.
to be able to become politicians.
Yeah.
But of course, many of them are now honorable
mm-hmm.
and they want to sit in the first plane and
mm-hmm.
they need to go through the door.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to Ondangwa
mm-hmm.
on Friday.
Yeah.
And I came at the airport and they said, Honorable Itula, come here. I said, where am I going?
Mm.
There's a queue there. No. You need to book in here. And I said, no.
Why?
I said, oh, it's written VIP. I said, are you practicing apartheid here? Sorry for Fly
yeah.
Namibia. I did that.
Uh-huh.
And I actually, you know, the poor Don't shoot the messenger.
Uh-huh.
The two poor employees were given a duty. Seemingly they look, Itula is coming, and they said they need to give protocol. And then I said, okay, I'm going upstairs to have my cup of tea. And then they said, Dr. Itula, you need to come this side. I said, why? No, they say VIP thing. I said, I'm not VIP. I'm Itula from Katutura, Kandubala, you know? Okay. Yeah. You know, I didn't realize we've got VIPs there as well. I thought all our VIPs is in Academia, and Pioneer Spark and Ludwigsdorf. So, we cannot, we need to get this title thing out.
Yeah.
Let's practice equality. That way we can unite people.
Mm.
But if we start treating people special, getting on a plane first and all these things, why? Mm. The plane will land at the same time. You know, whether
we are all going.
No, we are all going to that side. Yeah. If it crashes, you all die as well. So we need to start. Yes, there must be respect, but it must not go beyond the acceptable standard of uniting people.
Yeah.
The moment you start treating people different from others, the moment our members of parliament start now getting completely intoxicated with honorable drink, it is going to be difficult for them even to do their duties, and it will be difficult for this nation to even respect them and honor them for what they are doing, because what they are doing is to be honored for being there. So let's be simple citizens. We are all equal before the eyes of God. You are not going to go like in apartheid time to the whites only grave and the blacks only grave. And we used to say, is there two heavens, one for blacks and one for whites? There will not be a heaven for honorables.
Yeah.
No, we will all go to the same heaven if you are good out here, of course. So let's try and limit this etiquette and these protocols, because they are destroying our people. Our people are now coerced into believing you can't ask the honorable a question. No, you are servants of the people. Serving the people means that you are, must be accessible.
You are working for the people.
How can you go and lock me in a little room when nobody can come there? How do I respond to them when they've got queries?
Yeah.
So honorable members of parliament, become accessible.
Yeah.
But become accessible as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't insist on being called honorable because it creates a barrier.
Yeah.
No one would want to speak to you. Mm-hmm. So, I think what I was going to say, what I was going to say in conclusion is, I will now, be conducting public education.
Okay.
So that our citizens take up the mantle of participating in political activities.
Okay.
Political apathy will destroy us, will destroy our economy. Democracy and economic development, sustainable economic development, cannot take place unless we are inclusive of all our citizens to participate in developing our country.
Yeah.
We cannot develop this country unless, first of all, we develop our own people, our own soldiers, our own students, our own fishermen, our own agriculturalists. Unless we invest in our people, we cannot develop this country.
Yeah.
Relying on aid and relying on foreign skills and everyone else from outside will only be an exploitative activity where they will come and make their money and go. Namibia will remain undeveloped. 35 years and we don't have the secondary sector developed properly to be able to provide commodities and to provide jobs for our people. That's the reason why we don't have jobs. Now we are thinking about even nuclear power and all some dreams. Forget about nuclear power. That is not going to happen in Namibia. It's not going to solve our problem. Yes, we need energy in order for us to manufacture, in order for us to carry on with the secondary sector. But we cannot, we cannot go and climb the tree up high. They will fall off.
Yeah.
We will carry on with our hydrocarbons. We'll carry on with our gas and oil and our coal as the sources of our energy for quite a long period of time to do. Let us not build up people's expectation falsely so that they think nuclear energy, etc. Yes, I remember Chernobyl and I remember all the other accidents. If we cannot even sustainably run a railway, how do we sustainably run a nuclear power station with all its risks and devastating consequences? We need to be realistic.
We will kill ourselves.
We annihilate ourselves and the country and vegetation. So let's look at things. You know, I heard Her Excellency's pronouncement, nuclear power, etc. It's beautiful words, but it's unrealistic. It's not objective. Yeah. It's not achievable. Mm. You don't even have the money to pay for the elderly's pension, and you don't have money to pay for your students. You are promising young people free education.
All of us.
When your budget is 106 billion, and you compare that budget to countries such as Sweden, etc., that has got free education, and you understand why they've got free education. You've got 540,000 people employed, from which you are deducting their personal taxes, pay as you earn. That is not sufficient. In 2018, it was 725,000. It still brought you on only 25 billion Namibian dollars. What do you get from 540? Probably 18. So you don't have money. Let us not think deep. We cannot live by borrowing and by loans and by aid and all these other things. When are we going to stand on our own legs as Namibians?
Yeah.
Tate Kulu Nuyoma and his generation achieved a great thing.
Yeah.
They achieved freedom.
Yeah.
They achieved freedom.
Mm.
They left economic emancipation to us.
Yeah.
But we cannot go into the dream of nuclear power when we've got people who haven't got bread to eat.
Mm.
People eating slices of bread for dinner and for lunch.
Mm.
Let's be realistic and pay more attention to our agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Pay more attention to creating manufacturing industries so that we can trade and generate our own foreign currency so that we can pay for our social services.
Yeah.
But to go on a dreamland, it's fine. People clap hands when you talk about nuclear power station and all these other things, green hydrogen and all these other things. But what is the realistic, objective, achievable nature of these things that you are telling the nation? It's false. And a president that is false in telling people that is just not a president that has got the hearts of the people at a heart. We need to think about those children in Omaheke that are now going to bed without food, especially Ovakuruha. And think about the people in Kavango, people everywhere in this country. That has got no way of making ends meet. Young professionals that are frustrated that they can't get a job. Relationships breaking out is because of this economic situation. Look at the inflation is going to start climbing now. You've now been taken from middle upper income to middle income or whatever that is. Basically, you dropped in the amount of money that you are getting from exports and services and everybody else.
Mm.
So you are no longer up there. And that is based on the population as well, dividing it.
Mm.
Our per capita income is $4,000. The per capita income of Tanzania, which has got a population of 66 million, is $1,250. So we've got a higher per capita and yet we are lower. This thing is relative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a direct indication of how many people are earning in that country. So we earn per capita for everybody else 4,000 and Tanzania earns 1.25. But when you compare the countries, they have got a lot of agriculture that they invested in. What did we do in 25 years? We ran down Sikonda. We ran down Dongali Nene. We ran down Shati Kongolo. We ran down even Komsbeck and gave away to other people to run. We are incapable of doing these things because there is no political will. So I want Namibians to participate and have a serious discussion of how we are going to build this nation. You can't just fold your arms and sit back there and listen to rhetorics in parliament or anything like that. Do something that will bring about real change, that will bring about economic development and empower our people so that we have got real prosperity.
Mm.
We can't have prosperity while we are dreaming of nuclear power station.
Yeah.
It will not happen. It's just impossible. So if you've got a few callers, I think
we've got a caller.
Managed to get.
Good evening.
Oh, sorry. Good evening, madam. And is doctor there still?
Yes.
Yes, good evening. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, thank God for coming, doctor. Good evening, doctor. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, we thank God.
Yes.
So, Mama Elizabeth, thank you for bringing doctor here.
My dear, you must thank doctor for bringing me here.
I don't know why I started so late anyway.
No, but what did you get from our conversation?
No, one thing that, one of the key lessons that I got from there.
Yeah.
And I think is for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the education or creation of awareness.
Yeah.
How citizens can participate.
Mm.
In the development process of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we know very well that there are areas where doctor has just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
when I listened, from the time I listened,
mm-hmm.
that the creation and education in terms of the public participation,
mm-hmm.
community engagement, and all these other things are very crucial.
Mm.
And I think I know, because it's not the first time that I've listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's actually talking about some of the areas, critical areas.
Yeah.
You know, he mentioned the green hydrogen and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the issue there now, mm-hmm. is how to really adopt and demonstrate some kind of ethical principles.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know people, I don't know why, is it greedy?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it what? That people are just involved in unethical conduct.
Mm-hmm.
I think that issue has to come with the public participation in education that the doctor has mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, maybe that education and creation of our own is just, mm-hmm. people to have an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know why people ignore the law,
mm-hmm.
the rule of law. Maybe the doctor can touch on these things as I conclude.
Okay.
So, but otherwise, we are very happy, and we need also leaders to come in and see what is it that we can do. Is it, mm-hmm. education? What type of education? Because formal education seems not to have achieved great results.
Mm.
Maybe we need to go to informal education system.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, it's absolutely critical that we actually start examining our role as citizens and how we can contribute to what is really going to matter to us and not what is going to matter, mm-hmm. to politicians.
Mm-hmm.
No, politicians, I'm not a politician, I'm a leader of a political party, we are different.
Mm-hmm.
So politicians will say everything else and they will go and launch all sorts of things. And there's, you know, television coverage and everything else, and you all gather around that box and watch, and it's beautiful speeches written by somebody else. It's not coming from your heart. I wasn't reading what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beautiful speeches. But at the end of the day, I must now
mm-hmm.
declare,
mm-hmm.
that Vision 2030,
mm-hmm.
has failed.
Yeah.
Completely. It has failed.
It's dead.
You know, it's dead.
Mm.
You know, and there isn't any in 4 years' time,
mm-hmm.
when Vision 2030 was actually talking about developing the secondary sector.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a single opportunity for you to be able to suddenly get Namibia industrialized in 4 years' time. Say dream, wake up, it's a nightmare. It's not going to happen. So Vision, I'm with all due respect and all humility, Vision 2030 Namibians has completely failed.
Mm.
Partly because its goals had not been implemented. And we also need to think very carefully here. We've got the administration in various of the fourth branch.
Mm.
All these all these EDs, etc. We need to develop a system whereby the ED in that ministry fails.
Mm.
Three strikes and you are out, and we get somebody else.
Yeah, no, there are really room for improvement.
Absolutely.
So I think the vision, I think the leadership vision, the vision that people are promoting, and I think the greater one is that peace and stability.
Yeah.
And also now, for example, if there are really areas like you just mentioned, because if you look at our national development plan, so even the current one that we have now, national development plan, NDP 6, so that we can see some kind of alignment Of course, maybe there might also be a need for serious effective coordination in terms of resources and deployment. But doctor, don't you think that there are at least, there has been some kind of progress? So even though maybe, I don't know the particular areas in Vision 2030, so but when you look at it, maybe, for example, in terms of education, in the area of even tourism. So I know the country has been in drought for, that consecutive years. I don't know how many years now. So, and then now we at least we can go to the harvest. So what areas do you think that we can to get some quick results, quick win, the quick results? So that we can then maybe identify that and diversify the economic activity. Which area do you think they have potential that the youth can be employed? And I see whether we can still do something about Vision 23, or do we just have to throw it away?
No. Let's do this. I don't want to deny that there is a Namibian desert in Namibia. But what is critically important is this. When you look at the development of the past 30 years, which development in the past 30 years advanced the well-being and prosperity of the people of Namibia?
Not even in the social network.
I was speaking to somebody in a Pembe constituency who was climbing a tree to speak to me on the radio. No. It will be unrealistic of me, and it will be a denial of the facts and truth to say there has been no development in Namibia. Yes, there has been developments. We've got infrastructure development in terms of road, etc. But I can tell you, in terms of hospitals, Honorable Kami was doing really well in terms of primary healthcare centers, etc. But I was born in Windhoek and have grown up in Windhoek. And I remember seeing Katutura Hospital being built in 1973. Initially, I used to go and look for firewood around that area there, coming, of course, from Ovambo Nyenting before the building of Shandubala. But
my mother used to sell Kapana there all along. She's just your neighbor there.
But we haven't had any hospital built of international standards in this country. No wonder.
Built by the state.
By the state. Yeah. We are not talking about the private sector.
Yeah.
And also, ironically, the staff in the private sector are those trained in Katutura Hospital. I have seen Katutura Hospital, and I remember when I was at Agustinium in 1974 visiting my mother in Katutura Hospital when it just opened. Brilliant. Ooh. Beautiful. You had health care workers. And that is not a reflection on
same
the
uniform.
Hard-working young ladies and gentlemen in our hospital that are working under extremely difficult conditions and difficult salaries.
How do you overcome those challenges and see whether we can... Because people are also talking about foreign direct investment. And this green hydrogen, now that we have started even producing this green iron, and that means there's also a slogan that all those resources, everything has to be converted into finished products rather than shipping out the raw material. And now this green hydrogen, since they have started manufacturing those iron and things like that, maybe they are also the challenge of infrastructure like schools, hospital. I've heard of the one that is Katutula, the one in those areas. What do you think, doctor? How do we really just reorganize ourselves and see whether we can realize those dreams and vision?
Okay. I visited only one hydrogen project near Walvis Bay Clean Energy, and I'm due to visit the high iron as well. I am scientifically well vested and I'm able to understand what is going on there when the hydrogen molecules are split in order for us to create the energy. So I'm still to go down there. But what we are talking about in terms of industrial, industrial development in Namibia, is industrial development on a large scale that will be able to allow us to export in order for us to earn foreign currency and to be able to actually earn revenue so that we can actually transfer that revenue into providing services for our people. At the moment, you mentioned a little bit about education there, but there has been a mismatch between education as to the people coming out of our institutions and what the industries want. Not all the people that we have actually put money in educating and those that paid for themselves get jobs. Some of the people go 5, 6, 7 years without jobs at all. We need to create a situation where there is a match between what the industries want and what we are producing from the academic institution. Foreign direct investment is only good provided is investment that is investing in the people of Namibia. But foreign direct investment that is only coming in order to take raw material out and export effectively work to other countries and also value addition to other countries is not going to be beneficial in Namibia. But at the same time, foreign direct investment will not come to a country where the tax regime is at 30 or 32 because no one goes into business to lose money. We need to gradually lower the tax regime in order to encourage that. But we also need to encourage those that has got financial institutions that are able to come and invest in our country. We need to be very careful when we are talking about foreign direct investment. If there is no skills transfer and if there is no transfer of these skills to the Namibian people so that we can run our own indigenous industries, we will still be dependent on foreigners to come with their skills and know-how to do things in Namibia and leave us with nothing at all. If there is a transfer, I mean, for 35 years, how much skills have been transferred? Yes, I'm aware of the engineers. The other day, some of them also passed their exams, etc. But these people are actually leaving the country. They are not being given opportunities. There is no equal opportunity.
Sorry, it means that this understudy programs and I think there's a policy directive on that understudy, which is the most of the higher learning institution and VTC and all these special institutions supposed to have been implementing long time ago. And if you see, maybe it's not producing results, and I think you might also like it, you are suggesting that some of those program or policies and acts actually need to be reviewed. But I know that there is just the understudy. I don't know whether it is.
I mean, there is some project such as that one, of course, Dick, that is, I think, Honorable Nas Angula is the patron there, that is really empowering some young people to go away and then do their own bit. Some of them are into clothes making, etc. But what it is that these people need to actually to be supported by government. There must be a grant to support these people to get off the ground and start doing their own bit. If you go,
Thank you very much, doctor, for taking your time. I'm very impressed for being there and how you have given me.
I think he answered every possible question you could have.
I'm very satisfied, madam.
Wadimwaje.
Thank you very much.
I don't want to say madam.
All right. Thank you so much, Tatebi.
Thank you very much. God bless you, man.
Oh, ciao, ciao. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call in and talk to Tate Itula. But pamwatu ngongi konga, pamwatu tareninga, kuchoshangini. Anything else you would like to say, Tate Itula?
Well, I wasn't really going to talk about the economy in terms of FDA. I was
Tell us.
I'm more concerned about the democratic governance that is falling apart in this country.
Yeah.
And I think I've touched on a number of things there that I really, because if we fail
yeah.
democratically,
yeah.
it doesn't matter what we do, the economy will not pick up.
No matter what.
Because there will be a lot of crime.
Yeah.
Because there will be a lot of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a generation of a little elite that is up there.
Mm-hmm.
The mafia will come in. They will start controlling. They will start controlling government. Mm-hmm. And we are nowhere.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. And as soon as that takes place, foreign direct investment, dream about it. They will go and take their money to other countries that has got stability. Yes.
Yeah.
Your caller mentioned peace and stability.
Yes.
Let's not take that for granted.
Mm.
Human beings are creatures
yeah.
which has got the ability to turn around.
Mm.
So let's not take that for granted. The more you oppress people,
mm-hmm.
the more disgruntled the people come, the more aggrieved they become,
mm.
the more they start saying, as they say in Oshiwambo Okusa, no kuhepa, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
So the more drastic people will take measures. And we need to make sure that we educate our people to make sure they don't go into that direction.
Mm.
If you go around us and see what is taking place in some other countries,
mm.
the complete breakdown of law and order, the complete breakdown of rule of law, this is the dangers that I can foresee when you've got a breakdown in democratic governance.
Mm.
Yes, it's early days. The signs are there. The lack of real appeal to unity of the people and the hunger and poverty that is striking in the people,
mm.
it's going to create havoc in the future
yeah.
if we are not tackling it. We need to tackle corruption, not only that had taken place 10 years ago
mm.
and make it like, wow, it's great.
It's a new thing
you
now.
Know, everybody's
yeah.
now watching the High Court
mm.
and Parliament, etc.
But all the dates don't even correspond to now.
Corruption is taking mm. place now as we
yeah.
speak. While the diamonds are being stolen and nobody gets arrested.
Mm.
Who is involved in those?
Yeah.
How can the security apparatus in Namibia,
mm.
which are supposed to be having eyes, Big Brother is watching,
yeah.
allow a daylight robbery of the
broad
nation
daylight.
Of assets just like that? So when we get situations like that, we are creating the precursors
mm.
of chaotic governance.
Mm.
And that is unfortunately, I may be a little bit overcautious,
mm-hmm.
but it's unfortunately something that Namibians should come together and say, hey, what is happening here?
Mm.
This is taking place.
Mm.
People are hanging themselves. People are committing suicide.
Mm.
Why?
Mm.
Why are we allowing that?
Mm.
And especially psychiatric ill health in this country
yeah.
that is ill-diagnosed.
Oh.
You know, I'm not blaming my colleagues in the medical fields or anything like
mm.
that, but I'm blaming society.
Mm.
These are victims of society.
Yeah.
These are victims of the corrupt regime that we've got now.
Mm.
And until such time that we get rid of this corrupt regime and get a government of the people that is really taking into consideration the needs of the people
mm-hmm.
and not the needs of a group of mm-hmm. people up there,
mm.
then we will not be able to stem the trend of all these evils developing in our country.
Mm.
The increase in suicide,
yeah.
the increase in divorces, the increase in crimes,
mm.
it's as a result of social dissatisfaction.
Yes.
And we cannot ignore it.
Mm.
And those that has got the power by democratic means
mm.
to change it should be able to do so. We need to make sure that these people change it. And no, of course, that we've got elections coming up
yeah.
in November,
mm-hmm.
local and regional elections.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Namibians complaining
mm-hmm.
about SWAPO councillors mm-hmm. when you have got now an opportunity in November
mm-hmm.
to elect IPC councillors.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the north and I was in the south. Everybody in the south are saying, we are now going to go to Itula. I said, no, no, you are going to IPC. They
mm-hmm.
are now going to vote IPC.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the north, I was in a church in the north.
Mm-hmm.
The elderly people came and say, oh, IPC, when was it formed?
Mm-hmm.
I said, four and a half years ago. We are going to be 5 years soon.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, Omwea Mwalata, you came a bit late. You should have come a long time ago. And I said, no, it's never late. When you believe
yeah.
in the success of the future. So they said, no, I was in Ndangwa rural
mm-hmm.
and I was up to Ukwiushona, etc.
Mm.
And they are saying that there were people from Ukwiushona. They are saying that the people are saying we had enough
mm.
of SWAPO party.
Mm.
We are now going to vote IPC.
Mm.
But I want to make sure that, yes, give IPC in the November election an opportunity to prove the leadership that I can provide.
Mm.
Because in the IPC leadership,
mm-hmm.
we don't tolerate corruption.
Yeah.
We don't put it under the carpet.
Mm.
We don't want the carpet to lift up to the ceiling and you've got nowhere to breathe.
Yeah.
We will not tolerate that. So we are urging the Namibian people to participate in political activity and to deliver a devastating blow to SWAPO Party in November, both in the local authority elections and the regional elections. And I must caution our members of IPC. Let's work for candidates that are going to deliver the victory for us.
Yeah.
Let's not put people to the people that are not leaders, that are not able to actually get voted into power.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure those that are representing IPC are credible, meritocratic members of the party that have got their nation at heart, that will be able to save the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people are absolutely fed up with all these people that has been councillors there. And they are looking at IPC. The hope of the nation is on the shoulders of IPC.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we know there has been rigging in the national elections. It's much more difficult to rig the regional and local authority elections because the counting is taking place locally. There is no collation somewhere else. It takes place locally down there. So the collation that took place in the ECN without anybody being present, notwithstanding the provision of the constitution in schedule paragraph 5 or schedule 4, which says that we must be at all significant material stages of the electoral process. The political parties were not there when the final collation was made. We were not even invited to the results. They invited the ones that they thought is the ones that they have given the results. So we have got a duty and a responsibility in IPC to make sure that we get the correct candidates. And in IPC, you must have been at least a member of IPC for 12 months. That's what our constitution says. It's just like in the constitution
of the
republic.
You're not just popping in.
No, you can't just pop in today and tomorrow you want to represent IPC. We don't know
We don't know you.
We don't even know your characters.
Stranger danger.
No, stranger danger. You don't come from the other parties and you cause havoc there. You now come quietly like a lamb and then the whole wolf comes out. We are not going to do that. You know, what we want is people that has been in the party, that are committed to the party and committed to the party's principles, that of serving the people of Namibia, to be honest, credible. And those are the people that we want to make sure. We will absolutely make sure that those candidates that we are giving the public to elect into position of responsibility to serve you are people that know the evils of why you are in poverty today, why you are suffering hunger, why you don't have jobs, why our hospitals are empty, why our schools and children are traveling, why, thank God, there is a little bit of water in the north now, but our people are still drinking dirty water. Why that is the case? Those are the candidates that we are going to give to the nation. And we are not going to participate as a political party in any coalitions or agreements of not participating in this region and participate. We will field 121 candidates for the regional authority councils and will field candidates in all the 57 local authority councils, both town, village, and full IPC. We are not going to go into this agreement of, oh, don't contest in this constituency. Let's contest in this one and allow
we
me
want
to.
Everything.
No, we will go to war with our own armory and we'll fight our own battles. We'll have non-negotiated deals because it will be irresponsible. It will be a betrayal of our members in those constituencies if we don't put a candidate there. Who are they going to vote? Every single constituency in the Republic of Namibia, 121 of them, there will be an IPC candidate. When we were just 3 months old, we managed to field about 90 of them because we didn't have enough money. Now we will be fielding 120. SWAPO Party, watch out.
What's that?
The new baby is coming and we are coming to take the win. Our target is 72 regional councils. Constituencies out of the 121. And then the rest of them, which is 39, you can share them amongst the others. But what we want is to show very clearly that we are the legitimate party which has got the majority in this country. And I trust and have confidence with my humility that the Namibian people will see sense in the leadership that will be able to turn around this country and bring about change. At the local level and at the regional level is where the services are delivered, not the central government. When we've got that power, when we have got that constitutional and statutory power to deliver those services, give us that authority and that mandate, and we'll deliver it in your local authorities and in your regional council, and we'll make sure anyone with any corruption tendencies, they will be out. And we've proved that they will be out. So we are not going to have corrupt elements like other parties do. Other parties, especially the smaller parties, all of them are working with the SWAPO party, all of them, except IPC. You know, they even work together to try in parliament to take over the duty of the official opposition, even taking over the mandate that we received from the people of Namibia. They came together. They were 25 in number. They come together to decide that, yeah, when we came together, just like in 2000 when COD was taken away by the DTA. So all the DTA, the ARs and the LPMs, so all those parties came together with an aim to form themselves as the official opposition. I couldn't believe the audacity of just thinking that you can tell the Namibian people, your mandate is not worth it. Namibian people, these parties are not there to take away SWAPO party. They are there for their bread. That's all that they are there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they were able to come together. So make a decision and check out the IPC as the alternative government in the local and the regional. Then we will definitely be negotiating with the SWAPO party, because once we are in the majority in the National Council, all the laws coming from the National Assembly down there will have to go through this IPC chamber. So let's create the IPC chamber and leave SWAPO down here. And then we'll see who's going to be having the power. We'll have the power of the mandate of the people. So thank you very much to your listeners. And I will be coming back with more of that education and more of that encouragement. I want all the citizens to take up your responsibility and become politically involved. Give us a ring at the IPC and we'll come and see you. We'll have meetings in your quarters, in your communities, and discuss your country.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we bid you farewell and we will see you on the other side. Au revoir.
No, not the other side. That means heaven.
Oh, okay. Not in heaven, but on the other side of the time, my dear. Thank you. Ciao. Thank you so much, doctor.
Thank you.